Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. It's a year ago today. It's probably somewhere around 2:30, 3 o'clock. I'm standing in my kitchen at the corner of the counter talking to Eric Heckman. He just came over to price a job for me. Talking about his baby girl, Hannah. And my phone goes off, and it was the boss. I'm like, he never calls me unless I have to speak to him immediately. I said, Eric, sorry, I got to take this. I pick up the phone, and I'm like, no! The first thing Keith said to me is, Eddie Van Halen died. I'm like, what? No.
Yeah.
No. No.
Like, seriously?
He's like, You want to come in? I'll be right there. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, I knew he was having back and forth with cancer, but it seemed like he was fine.
Yeah,
like
there was no
issues.
He came
out of it. People
yeah.
come out of it. I
yeah.
thought he came out of it.
And he looked like he aged well, too.
Yeah, that was a shock, man.
Big shock, yeah.
Holy crap. That was my band growing up. Everybody has that band
uh-huh.
where they're in high school, and they're like, not that I went to high school or paid attention. But,
yeah.
you know.
This is what you were paying attention
during that
to.
Period of time in my life, this was that band. They were real friggin' rock stars.
It's true.
Well, they had the talent to back it up, and then they also had... They were just so cool.
Yeah.
It was before David Lee Roth got weird and started screaming like Grandpa Simpson. Yeah. Where were you?
Actually, I was just kind of noodling around home, and I looked at Facebook, and I saw folks posting on Facebook that Eddie Van Halen died. I'm like, no, because this has happened before. You go
didn't text me.
You know? And then I went to you know, Google it, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's for real. There were stories everywhere posted.
You never texted me.
No, I did get in touch with you because
I got in touch with you.
You touched with me, and you're like, look, I'm going to the station to do a special on Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah, this is while I was driving in.
Yep.
So you knew, and you didn't even tell me. Thanks, man.
You knew before I did. You didn't tell me.
Come on, yeah.
But that was after a while. You didn't like immediately after you hung with the
boss. Well, I had to put shoes on and get in my car and be on the way to the station. Once those things were in place.
Right. Then I come.
I called you.
Okay, cool.
Yes. Anyway. Oh, it's so sad.
Yeah.
Really.
It's a shock.
Well, he just pulled it together. He got off the drugs and the drinking again. And,
yeah.
You know.
He's always smiling. He's a nice guy.
Always.
Yeah,
always
I mean,
happy.
When we went to that sound check, when we went to the Van Halen concert, Eddie the entire time smiles, nice guy. Looked like a very pleasant person to know.
Mm.
Like someone you want to get engaged in conversation with for like hours.
Yeah. I met him backstage, Madison Square Garden in New York, and they gave us a little speech before he walked in the room. They're like, you know, we know you're going to want to shake his hand and show him how tough you are, but he needs that hand tonight, so do a very light handshake.
Yeah, well, you're an idiot if you do something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
That must have been a thing, you know? Oh, my God, he shook my hand so tight, I can't, you know.
Yeah, a guy named Crusher comes over.
Yeah. What? It looks like a cartoon.
Right.
Boom, 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 boom.
Right. He's doing all slide work with his hand. Yeah.
I got a picture of him. His arm is around me. And, you know, I looked at that. I got that picture. I stared at it for hours thinking, that is the hand that played and now fill in the blank here. All of these iconic songs.
Yeah. Oh, my God. No kidding.
I was like, well, I don't want to watch that. Shoulder.
Yeah.
However, I that would not be good for people around me.
Yeah, you're going to stink after a while.
I'm
so,
have
yeah.
to do that.
Right, yeah. right. Well, the good thing is that hand had nothing to do with Happy Trails. So,
what's that now?
That hand had nothing to do with Happy Trails.
Explain this one to me.
There's no guitar.
Right?
Song sucks.
Oh, I love that song.
It's always regarded as their you know, dumbest song.
No, it's not.
To some, it is. I'm not. I personally like it.
I love you, man.
No, you don't.
A life-threatening wedgie.
Oh, I hated those.
That's right. You got a lot of those, right?
I got a few. Mostly junior high school.
It's all about AJ.
That guy, I'm going to pull over his head.
You're going to give him an atomic wedgie.
Yes, and I'm going to shove his head in there.
The atomic,
dumbass.
The atomic wedgie.
You're gonna be white ass.
Was when they picked you up off your feet with the wedgie and then put your underwears over your head.
Yep. Never had one of those. My underwear never would have withstood that type of abuse. Mine would have ripped and would have just had a band in their hand.
Oh, it's so humiliating.
Yes.
I never had a wedgie given to me by anybody else. It happens sometimes, naturally, but I miss that whole phase of life.
I think you've missed a big phase of life that most of us have to deal with.
It was because I went through puberty at a private school, I know.
People made fun of my boobs.
They did.
Oh, my God. What are these things on my chest?
I couldn't go to regular school anymore.
I had boobs.
Right.
Oh, well, no one else did. I didn't know what to do.
It's all about
Ashley.
Dumbass.
25-year-old woman wore tight jean shorts. It gave her an 8-hour wedgie.
Ooh.
You know, maybe 10 minutes in. Yeah, you change your clothes.
Right, yeah. You know, my butthole's not feeling that great right now.
yeah, you know.
I'm going to change this.
You know, there's another T-shirt. Right. Yeah, you know, on the front, on the back, my butthole's not feeling too good right now.
Exactly. And nobody accidentally falls on a shampoo bottle. Just, you know.
I'm writing it.
Dumbass.
It turned into a sore backside, which got infected.
Oh.
Her tight shorts infected her ass.
It infected her ass.
Sent her to the ICU.
We all can see it, really.
I mean, just pick the wedgie.
She couldn't. The shorts were so short and small. It was the kind that showed the bottom of your butt cheeks.
I see you, Heine.
Booty shorts.
Cellulitis and sepsis.
Ooh.
Yeah, cellulite.
I see you writing over there. That wasn't that bad.
That's a law firm right there.
Cellulitis.
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 Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Everybody.
That one. That
everybody,
one.
3, 2, 1. You're right. This is fun.
He joined in. Yeah.
Probably leave with them on a Friday.
She spent almost 4 days in the ICU. 4 days.
Right. Because of her hiney.
Because of pinch.
Right.
She was weird.
That's how she talked.
What's wrong with you?
Pinch.
Right.
Pinch.
My pants.
My pants are too tight.
Are they too tight? Yes.
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 Matter of fact, this is my butt talking. Help me. Pants are too tight. Pinch.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah,
can I get you something to drink?
Yes. When you break wind and it sounds like your mom whistling for you to come home.
I'm thirsty.
A little too tight there. Hey, butthole. Yeah.
Spent 4 days in the ICU. Doctors had to cut off the part of her. They almost had to cut off the part of her butt.
Oh, my God.
That was infected. Wow. Almost.
Oh, my
almost.
God.
I mean, just pick the wedgie.
Exactly right. Just yank that sucker out.
Yes, or change your clothes.
Yeah.
Like, just
put on eating pants. There you go.
She was on a date, and she thought she looked cute, so she wouldn't.
Yeah, well.
Dumbass.
How'd that work out for her?
Then you deserve all of this.
Yep, you do. Twice.
She's sharing her story on TikTok. This is her.
If any of you remember, in 2017, there was a really popular short by 1 teaspoon. So expensive, but I saved up, and I bought them half off on Poshmark. I thought they were the coolest shorts ever, and of course, like, my whole ass is out. So what happened is I was wearing boy short underwear.
Right, who cares?
Well, this is the same person who would take those things off. 8-hour wedgie, so.
Yeah, right.
Probably killed off part of her brain cells, too.
Does anybody hear a small plane flying by?
Yep.
the hell's wrong with
that? We've been trying to get rid of that small plane all morning.
Yeah. I don't know if you hear it in your car or your house or whatever, but there's, we have headphones on. We hear this.
No. It sounds like a mouse has got, yeah. like a mouse is cold. His teeth are chattering.
I was going to say the mouse on a motorcycle. Yeah.
No, it's a mouse is cold. Mm. I've been taping and like tightening things in the studio all friggin' morning. I still can't find it.
Yeah, does dumbass.
Somebody, does somebody else want to come in here?
No.
No?
Can't figure it out.
No.
Please?
Wait, it's gone now.
It's a trap.
Wow, what the hell is wrong with that room?
Dumbass.
It's the monkey cage.
I would say that she got dumber going in there, but I think that...
Oh, hell no. I ain't being lumped in this one.
Everybody sounds normal right now.
Thank mm-hmm. you.
Mm-hmm. All right, two idiots want to sue a water park after they broke in and got hurt.
What idiots?
They got drunk. They mm-hmm. break into the park at night. They shatter their ankles on a slide.
Shatube, shatude, shatude, who? Shatube.
And now they want to sue the park for not having a security guard to prevent them from breaking in.
No.
There should be a special mallet you hit someone in the head with for that. You're an idiot.
This is Barry and Douglas. I'm sorry, it's Barry Douglas and Claire Vickers during an interview.
They should take security, though, for a start. And the fence should be secured, and there will be legal action being taken.
You're saying that if they'd fixed the fence, if they put security so that at their own expense, then we wouldn't have been able to go down the slide, which you shouldn't have been going down in the first place.
That's 100%.
I just think that everybody makes a mistake. Everybody has got drunk at some point in their life and made a silly choice, and that's what this was.
Oh, my God, have another cigarette.
Seriously.
She sounds like she makes lots of silly choices.
Would you hit your face, too?
Everybody.
She got hit in the neck. Connoisseur Media CEO Jeff Warshaw loves food. He is a connoisseur. And I am someone who just orders stuff that you can find on a children's menu. Pizza, hot dogs, hamburgers, maybe a steak.
Right.
He's like, you got to get out of this deal here and check out what the world has to offer.
You're
so
a
we've been going around the places in New Haven. We called a bit Taste of Haven. And yesterday, I experienced another great life moment. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. How are you today? How are you feeling?
Great. You know,
good.
I'm not guilt riddled.
There's no
because I had a lot of calories.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking to myself, we didn't have that many calories. There you go. That's why you're such a thin guy.
Well, okay.
He's nice, isn't he?
Yeah. This is why he's a CEO. Yeah. But we went to the rice pot, which was Thai food.
Oh, sounds
and,
good.
And we ordered some. I always just hand the menu to Jeff and say, all right.
What do I want?
What do I want? Right.
You're a new assistant.
Well, normally what I say is, have you ever tried this? Have you ever tried that? Have you ever tried this? And you always say, no. And so
I
get you to try all kinds of different stuff.
I did have water before, so that was good. I had
you've had there. Dumplings. We've had dumplings before together, but these were different. These were Thai dumplings. They were very light and very light and almost fluffy. I think they were delicious. They were very good dumplings.
Everything was great.
Yeah. So, what was your favorite? Let's see. Let's review. We had what they call fresh roll, but you know, it's similar to what I think a lot of people would call a summer roll, which is basically not fried rice. Like kind of this rice noodle wrapped around lettuce and shrimp and carrots and mint and basil.
Is there a dipping sauce for that?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, a peanut. Like a vinegary sugar
that's
peanut
good stuff.
Sauce.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
And then we had the dumplings, which had a different dipping sauce. I thought they were very good dumplings. Then we had tofu, which didn't go over as well, but it was definitely a different experience for you, Chaz, right?
Has yes. toe in it, so.
Yeah. To me, it was and like then, the basket of bread.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and then... and then we had the two real classics. We had larb, which is not an attractive word. It just doesn't sound like it would be delicious, but it is delicious.
Like it's coming back up,
actually light. It's actually fairly light. It's just ground pork with lime and fish sauce and garlic and ginger and hot, you know, chilies. And Ooh. It was and lots of lettuce to kind of cool it down. And you really liked that, right?
I loved it. Loved it.
But your favorite was, not shockingly, the pad thai.
That picture looks amazing. Looks so delicious.
Everything looked amazing.
It was. And it was like not as kind of red and tomatoey and sticky as many pad thais that you get. It was kind of, I don't want to use the word lighter, but it was a little bit less kind of stuck together than you often find. And I thought it was delicious. And you really loved it. And then they gave us a surprise fun dessert, which was fresh mango with a little bit of sweet sticky rice. And you love that as well, right?
They put it down. I'm like, oh, what's the point? Bring me some carrot cake.
Mango and rice. That's interesting.
It didn't look good.
That's interesting.
Like, this would be the last thing if I'm at a buffet and there's a bunch of desserts out and I saw this. I'm like, yeah, okay. Whatever.
So do you like mix the mango and the rice together?
It was great!
I've never heard of that before.
Yes!
That doesn't make sense. Rice pudding, right?
I'm like, sweet, sticky rice.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds good.
Yes!
So good.
Oh. When are we going?
It's like their version of a rice pudding, except it's less, it's not as soupy. It all sticks together like in one plate.
It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. Soupy.
I'm a dessert person.
Yes,
I was really surprised by that. I could usually, you know how you could tell a book by its cover?
Uh-huh.
I looked at that and I'm like, nah. And I took a bite and went, oh, yeah.
There's not a lot of colors.
Yeah, I think that was the sticky rice kind of on its own would have just been kind of like a little bit much, but the fresh, juicy, kind of slightly tart mango was a perfect foil for it.
Well, thank you so much. And I have pictures of it on our Facebook and our Instagram, and the place is called Rice Pot. They were just great people, great food.
Sounds good.
They're in New Haven, yeah.
Looks great, too.
And we need to organize our pizza tasting with, you know, Sally's, Pepe's, Modern, and Bar, and maybe we might need a couple of other recruits. Maybe we should have some kind of contest so that people can, you know, one or two people can join us on our pizza crawl. That would be fun.
Oh, I love it. Like what? We get in a bus and then go to all those places in one day?
Well, I was thinking more like a car, you know.
Okay.
I'm not sure that we want. This maybe a couple of people, like, you know, just that, you know, that me and you want to spend time with or that we'd like to meet. And you know, so we get to try more things. And because I think if we try to do a pizza call, just the two of us, we'll tap out pretty early.
Yeah. I don't know about me. I could go 13 rounds on that one.
Well, yeah, you know, that's true. But then if you thought that the Thai food was heavy, then, you know, you really are, we're going to have to walk home after we get done. Well, that was really fun. It's always great spending time with you. And even more than the food, I enjoyed just hanging out with you, Jack.
Oh, me too. We had a great talk. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. My pleasure.
All right, speak to you soon. Thank you. Jeff Warshaw, CEO, Connoisseur Media. That was great. So the pictures are up there on the website.
Yep.
Try this stuff. When I was a kid, I went to a diner all the time, and I ordered the same thing. And the owner of the diner said, Charlie, you got to try different things.
What'd you order?
The next day I ordered a cheeseburger. Finally.
Yep.
Decades later, I'm trying different stuff. All right, let's talk to the second greatest nurse on the planet. I'm married to the first greatest nurse.
I had a feeling.
Yes. 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Allison Hyde, pediatric nurse. She took care of Anthony, who we're trying to take care of with Make-A-Wish Connecticut.
Yes.
Good morning, Allison.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Morning.
So tell us your story with Anthony.
Yeah, well, I remember very vividly the night that I met Anthony and his family. I was coming on to a night shift, which is always super fun, and I walked into the room, and there were about 20 doctors and nurses in his room at the time, and I remember it being quite an emergency. We had to put, you know, a bolt at the bedside in his head to relieve the pressure in his brain, and I just remember how strong his parents were, and I took care of him for a while after that, and he is just one of the strongest kids I've ever met.
He was 5 months old, had a brain tumor, and it was dire. Were you there right before he went into surgery, after surgery?
You know, I was there right when they did actually a surgical procedure at the bedside, which is very rare. But then when he went into surgery, I was there before and after, not probably right away, but more at the nighttime, and there for a bunch of days after, because he ran into a couple complications along the way. So it was a longer stay than anticipated.
What was that like when, so they normally don't do this procedure bedside, but it was so bad, though, like, we have to do this right now. We're going to lose this kid. 5 months old.
Emergency, yeah.
And what was your role? What were you doing?
So I, as the nurse, I was there, obviously, to support the family and to support Anthony, but we also give medications and help the doctors with all that they're doing, just to make sure the procedure goes well, monitor the vital signs, and do all those things. We work as a really good cohesive team, just to make sure that the patient's okay.
So I've heard that you were holding up the light while they were doing this procedure.
Yes, I actually think I lost all sensation in my arm because it was a good 10 minutes. But wow. During that time, you know, you're in the moment and you do anything to help this kid who is just seeing him now. It makes me smile. I'm smiling right now because it was such a incredibly terrifying moment. And just knowing how he's persevered through it all. There are bad moments, but he's a superstar. So
you even stood in front of his ICU door blocking people from coming in just because
wow.
he got some sleep.
Like a bouncer.
I have to tell you, I am a very nice person, but I always tell Rob and Sarah, like, I can be strong when I need to be. And he didn't need, you know, at 6 a.m. people coming and, like, prodding his eyes open and bugging him. So I definitely monitored a little aggressively who was coming in and out just so he could get some sleep. That poor kid, you know, and you hear all the beeps and, you know, all the machines going off all night. It's just so hard. And it was really important for him at that time to just sleep.
You picture the size of a five-month-old baby, and you see all these machines and things taped and hoses stuck in place. It's not a sight you ever want to see.
No.
And even as a nurse, that must have been like, well, you don't see this every day.
No, and yeah, you definitely, it was something I have to say, like, I still vividly remember the entire scene walking in that night. And this is, it's been a while. And so it's something that, you know, not everyone ever even sees as a nurse, especially in the pediatric population when they're so small and they can't speak for themselves or tell you how they're feeling. So you really have to be their voice and just be there for them in those moments. So it's a really terrifying job, but also very rewarding.
You actually changed shifts so you were able to take care of Anthony.
Yeah, I wanted to be there the day he went home and just be able to experience that moment with him and his parents because it's such an amazing thing to see that, to see them go full circle from where they're intubated at the, you know, getting something put in their brain at the bedside to, you know, getting in a car seat and doing normal kid things. And I wanted to share that experience with the family, and I have to say there's some families you just connect with and some patients you just connect with and you form a bond, and we have like a forever bond. I still talk with them and my family knows their family, and it's just been a really one of the most gratifying experiences as a nurse.
And you've kept in touch with them. You're almost like a member of the family now. That's rare. You get attached to all your patients. They're all important to you, but to continue to stay in contact.
Special.
That's very special.
Yeah, I'm really lucky. I get first day of school photos and videos, and it just makes it all worth it.
So Anthony, 5 months old, has a brain tumor, has it removed, hasn't completely come back, has seizures now. And you don't want to say it's going to be forever, but that's what the thought is right now. In Make-A-Wish, Connecticut said, what can we do for you? He said, this little man who's seven now said, I want to get toys for the kids in ICU. And they said, no, we'll do that, but what would you like? And instead of getting something for himself, he said, I want to get a camper so I can go camping with my family and my siblings. So we're trying to get a camper for him. It's $14,500 after the discount that we're getting because of who it's for.
Yeah.
And we have the link to Connecticut Make-A-Wish on the website. You can go to the radio station website right now. The last I checked, we had $4,800.
Okay, we need some more.
So we're like $10,000 away. Friday, we'd like to wrap this up by Friday.
That'd be great, yeah.
Anybody on there that we'd like to thank?
We're up to $5,000 now.
Nice. Hey, hey!
Yep. Batman donated $200.
Batman, the Cape Crusader. Thank God,
does
Batman.
Does he have a wallet? Where does he keep that wallet?
That wallet,
question.
Yes.
The,
yeah. In his utility belt?
Yeah.
I guess so.
His back pocket.
Well, thank you, Batman. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everyone who donated. We still have a way to go here.
Yes.
Allison, who was Anthony's pediatric nurse. Anything you want to tell us about Anthony before we let you go?
Just you mentioning the fact that he wanted to donate animals to the kids in the hospital is just so him. He's just such a giving kid, such a loving kid. And after all he's been through, just to see him thrive and do so well under all the circumstances with seizures and everything, it's just really amazing to see. And he and his family are just really, really great.
Well, thank you for being a nurse. Thank you for being such a great nurse.
And thank you.
Thank you for coming on.
Of course. Thank you guys for doing this. It means the world.
Well, we really just sit here. Like,
true.
The tribe does all the work. Allison Hyde, Anthony's pediatric nurse. Is she still at Yale now? She was a nurse.
She's working in New York now, but she lives in Connecticut. Born and raised in Darien, and she actually commutes into the city for a job now.
Oh.
She wanted to be in the ICU atmosphere.
AJ has the Captain America outfit.
I do.
And Anthony is a big fan of Captain America. He lives in Milford. So tomorrow, AJ's going to put that costume on.
And scare
and
Milford.
Walk around Milford. Sorry, Milford.
Terrorize Milford till you get the money.
I think at 9:30 today, just to make sure this thing fits, you should try it on here.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll need a dressing
how
room.
It looks.
Yeah.
I'll leave. You can have the monkey cage.
Got a huge window over here.
Yeah,
I'm not looking in.
Chaz doesn't care.
All right.
I'll turn the other way.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Well, you're going to wear underwears, right?
Oh, yeah, underwears, but still it'll be my underwears. You don't want to see that either.
I don't want to see that.
I'm just thinking of you guys. Yeah. maybe that should be the threat. I'll walk around Mill for my underwear and take the money. Oh, my God, we have 18,000.
Yeah. I think you'd be arrested.
It's like a ransom.
Yeah.
Give us the money or he walks around in his underwears. But yeah, the costume came last night around 8:30.
Great.
Yep. I got the shield. I got the whole damn thing.
Well, something very special about nurses.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. They spend most of the time in that room. They spend a lot of time with the family. And, you know, between taking care of the patient and talking to family off the ledge and comforting everyone who walks through that room. Doctors are important. But, you know, they walk in with the clipboard.
Yeah.
They say this, say that. The nurses do the work, so.
The hard work.
Thank you, Allison. Hi. Joe Myers, the movie guy. What do you think?
Well, I was very disappointed by it. I mean, it's on HBO Max, so if you have HBO Max, you can watch it, you know, as part of the package. It's also playing in theaters where it did dismal business over the weekend. I guess it's what you expect from a prequel, and this focuses a lot on the uncle character who was dead by the time the series started, played by an actor named Alessandro Nivola, who's a very good actor. But with all the publicity for Gandolfini's son playing him as a young man, there wasn't enough of that character in the movie for my taste.
I think they managed it because he's not a great actor. So they had him do a line here and a line there.
Oh, really?
Yes.
The whole deal with him was you look at his face and you see his father.
Yep. Yeah.
And you instantly have an emotional connection with the character. And you say, oh, his dad would be proud that he's in this.
Yes. I think that you're right. That was the problem they faced. He maybe was not up to carrying a movie at this point in his life.
If you never saw one episode of The Sopranos, this thing rates a zero.
Oh, really?
And if you're a fan
absolutely.
Of The Sopranos, it's maybe a 5, maybe a 6. There are moments where you're like, oh, this is great.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. If you know the show, there are some interesting scenes. And like I liked Vera Farmiga as the young Livia. I thought she might have
She's
been the
great.
Best one in the movie. But But even in her case, they don't give her enough. You know, I make a movie about her.
Yeah,
possibly. Yeah,
you know who plays her? It's the mom from Lorraine Warren from Conjuring.
Oh, the really? Conjuring. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, the Conjuring.
Yes.
Yeah. And she's great. I just love her in anything.
She's a wonderful. And she also played the mother in that series Bates Motel. You know, the origin story of Norman Bates and his mother.
I didn't.
She's a good actress.
So all heavy characters.
They famously drop in The Departed in one of the later episodes of The Sopranos. She's also in that movie, which I thought was very funny.
Yes.
No happy roles.
Yes, she's
no light comedies.
Well, you see a young junior.
Yeah.
He was
great, too. I liked him.
Yeah, that was the thing about it. Again, if you watch The Sopranos and you loved it, it's worth a watch because there's you see young Silvio. And
that one I didn't like.
How was his hair?
Really?
Oh, I did not like the young Silvio.
I liked it, and there was a scene where he roughed a guy up, and his hair ended up all over on one. His toupee ended up on the side of his
pushed
head.
Pushed to one side, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's toupee. I had no idea.
Yeah. And they didn't know what to do with Ray Liotta. They kill him and then they bring him back.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, all right, this feels a little like a soap opera.
Yeah, what did they do? Yeah,
yes.
What did they do? Yeah. Didn't you just die a moment ago? Yeah, I'm back.
Well, they brought him back as his brother.
Yeah.
So
Twin
they kill
brother,
him.
Yeah.
He dies. I'm giving away. Listen, if you haven't watched it and you're going to watch it.
Shut up.
Go somewhere.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to die.
Yes.
Go
walk
do some
away from your radio because I'm going to spoil some stuff for you right
chew
now.
Chew some gum. Yeah.
So Ray Liotta plays the dad of this star who the star is Christopher's father. So it's Christopher's grandfather.
Yep.
The opening scene struck me and I thought immediately this is going to be tremendous because I've never seen someone film like a graveyard like this where the camera's going through the graveyard and you hear the voices of the tombstone it's on.
Oh, wow.
And they're telling their story. I'm like, this is something I've never seen.
Huh.
I'm in.
This is different.
Then it comes upon Christopher's gravestone and now he starts narrating the story.
Wow.
It is great. Yes.
There was like not enough opening, of him either. I thought he was also fantastic.
Why didn't they have him just narrate the whole thing?
Why?
Little like Goodfellas almost.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then Ray Liotta's so playing Christopher's grandfather. He dies. His death bothered me because this car, there's an argument in the driveway.
Okay.
5 feet from the house.
Well,
there's an argument. The car drives into the garage, smashes into the back wall, and then he takes the guy's, Christopher's dad, takes his dad, Christopher's grandfather's face, Ray Liotta's face, and smashes it into the steering wheel, and the horn's going, nah.
Was he playing a song with it, like Yankee Doodle?
Right? So now, Christopher's father realizes he just killed Ray Liotta, his dad, and he's like, all right, now I got to do something.
Right.
And he starts like trying to close the garage door, but the ass end of the car is hanging out.
Yeah.
And
then
young Tony Soprano walks by. He's like, hey, Uncle, what are you doing?
What's going on?
Hey.
Yeah. Get out of here. What are you doing? What do you mean? What are you doing? And now the mom pokes her head out the window, Christopher's father's wife. Oh, what was that horn beep? I'm like, there was just a murder out in the driveway.
Right.
You didn't hear that?
You didn't hear the car hit in the back of the garage.
You didn't hear the car?
Yeah.
You didn't hear the yelling?
She didn't hear nothing.
You heard nothing. It was a little, there were parts like that. I was like, this is tough. The kid's running, slips on a hubcap.
Oh.
There's only one thing in the street, and he slips on a hubcap.
I had that luck, though. That'll be me.
Come on.
That'll be me. I had that kind of luck.
Yeah.
I found the one hubcap, Who's the hubcap in the street?
So I don't think anyone here is endorsing you watch it, but if you watch The Sopranos and there's nothing on and you're like, I don't know what to watch.
Yeah.
It's worth a watch.
I didn't watch
the last 20 minutes. Is that worth watching?
Yeah.
That's when everything happened. Oh, my God.
There's kind of a big reveal.
Well, you know, there's a killing towards the end that doesn't make much sense either, where a person who knows there's a contract out on him is really not paying attention when he gets home. You know,
is his career being killed?
A lot of the murders in the film didn't make sense to me. Like, there's a woman, we won't mention, who gets killed because she suddenly confesses she's having an affair to her husband, who's a hothead gangster.
Smoking hot.
You know?
Smoking hot.
Yeah, it just doesn't It doesn't make sense.
There was no prompting for her to share that information. It's just all of a sudden, here
absolutely.
It is.
No, there was prompting.
They gave her money?
She felt guilty that this guy, she was with this, she slept with this other character because she felt alone and she felt like her guy wasn't supporting her in her career and helping her.
Yes.
And it's like, well, screw this guy. And then he comes around, he thinks, he's like, you know what? I love her. And he gets her what she wanted. And she's so moved by this, she is just overcome with guilt. And this is why, you know,
I have to tell you something.
Listen, if you're in a mobster movie and you're walking on a beach and it's just you and the mobster and your lovers, don't tell him that you slept with someone else and you don't know how many times you lost count.
It's not a time to be forthcoming.
Just say, let's get some seafood.
It's not going to be good for your character.
Right. I feel like clam strips. You feel like clam strips?
Check the rest of the script. See if you're in it.
Keyword clam.
Maybe change your mind on that page.
I don't see my name anymore.
Didn't work out good for her.
It says your sudden accident.
No.
What is that?
But the glimpse of that scene where her body was in the waves and then the wave just, and she was gone. Like I was like, see, this is,
gone.
These are the scenes, these little nuggets. I'm like, yes, there's the genius of this guy.
Kind of shot very well.
Yes.
I didn't love all the characters and I definitely didn't love all the dialogue or the story. It was a little jumpy, but.
They definitely incorporated Black Lives Matter and racial riots that we've just seen in 2020. They said this has to be a big part of it.
Apparently, David Chase always wanted to make that movie. He wanted to make the movie of the race riots that happened in Newark in the late 60s and early 70s. And it was a totally separate project. And then these sort of wound up becoming the same thing.
Yeah.
And you can almost see that. It feels like almost two different stories. It's like, why is this character still around at this
really
point?
It really does.
Yep.
There was no sense for that other than we need to incorporate the tension between blacks and whites.
And fill some time.
Yes.
Oh, they didn't need to fill time. It was plenty long.
Was it long?
It did feel long. It did. We didn't watch the 20 minutes because we're coming up on the Tampa Patriots game.
Oh, like, gotcha, right.
You know, and if it's really good, you're like, I know how football games go. There's four quarters. I'll come in and, you know, I could watch a highlight reel.
Yeah.
We are like, let's watch the beginning of the game. Yeah.
You can go back to it, though, right?
Sure.
Right. Sopranos. The Many Saints of Newark.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why wouldn't I be able to?
I'm just, you know, it's a movie. You got to watch the movie. I don't know. I don't know what kind of
it doesn't vanish.
I don't know.
It doesn't seem worth it, though.
No, I wouldn't. Did you see The Sopranos, Ashley?
No.
No.
She
didn't see nothing.
Then you wouldn't like this.
No.
I didn't see nothing.
No. I watched The Sopranos. No. I didn't like it much.
I saw the baritones.
No, I'm in the same boat. Yeah, I love The Sopranos, but this didn't do it for me.
I saw the altos.
This movie was, you know, if this is one of those, if people love it, we're going to go back to making a series. They are not going to make a series.
Nope.
Not with David Chase, anyway. Mm. He's out on it.
Did he say that?
This was his last deal, and he never wanted it to be a series. He always envisioned a movie for it.
Really?
Yeah, I was reading a couple articles with him. Yeah, he was pretty honest that in his mind, if this project was getting made with him attached to it anyway, it was never going to be a series.
You know what would be cool? Like a sequel called The Baritones. That'd be cool.
Instead of The Sopranos?
Yeah, everybody talks low.
Joe liked it.
That's all that mattered.
I would watch that, for sure.
It took about 10 or 15 minutes to have a scene where you're like, oh, this is a mobster movie where the kid was shot in the recruitment office.
It was good.
Oh,
one of the better scenes.
I really didn't expect that. I thought the kid was going to get roughed up, and now he's dead. Like, wow. Okay, here we go.
Say recruit now.
It was a start and stop. Like, the beginning, I'm like, yes. And I'm like, oh, slow. Oh, we're back. Slow. Oh,
the sign was wrong. It said killing off that recruit.
So I should watch the last 20 minutes of this, Joe?
Well,
no.
Wow.
You're not missing anything if you don't. Let me put it that way. You know, it doesn't suddenly get better. Well, a lot of people said the best part is the very end when the credits come on and they play the theme song from the original show. That you feel some energy then, but the movie's over.
I thought that was a little hokey, the way that they did it. But
a little hokey. A little hokey.
It was fine.
I got to watch it just to get mad.
So the you know, so your bullet points, Joe, like when you write about it, the top three takeaways, what were they?
Very disappointing as a follow-up to The Sopranos, a few good performances, a lot of unmotivated killings.
Two middle fingers up.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.